Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in on Hit and Run on the Score. Barry Rosner, Joe Ostrowski with you until 12:45, taking you up to Cubs baseball. This hour on the Score brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store, your big green egg superstore that offers you everything you need for barbecuing. Joe, it's time to go out to the Score hotline right now, where we're joined by Orioles beat reporter Rock Kabatko. He covers Baltimore for Masson Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at MassonRock. You can hear him right now on Hit and Run. Hey, Rock, how are you?
All right, how you doing?
We're doing great. A lot of interest here in Chicago in Manny Machado for various reasons on both sides of town. What do you think is going to happen this summer, or will they not even wait until the summer to do something with Manny Machado?
Yeah, I always pick up more followers out of Chicago this time of year. As long as Manny's still an Oriole, off season now, whatever, toward the deadline, I'll pick up more followers. And if he goes somewhere else, I'll lose them all. But, you know, with Manny, it's one of those situations, again, where he is available, clearly, but the Orioles aren't actively shopping him at this point. They claim they never were, that it was more of a, hey, we'll listen if you want to talk to us mode, especially at the winter meetings. They did talk with plenty of clubs that came forward with varying offers. They're just trying to get a feel whether they were serious about moving him or what they were looking for a guy that's, you know, potential rental now. And I don't think that's changed. And as they, you know, got off to this horrible start, there was speculation, well, now they've got to move him. But something else that hasn't changed, there's got to be an offer, like a suitable offer. They're not going to just give him away now because, well, we're, you know, X number of games out of first place, and now he's even closer to free agency. He's playing really well, obviously. But, hey, to just make us an offer, like, they still want that, you know, top pitching prospect, at least one. They want multiple prospects, young, controllable arms. I mean, they're still looking for a lot if they're going to move a guy of this caliber, even though it is the rental. And they're hoping that at some point, if they are indeed out of the race, the team's going to step up, teams get a little more desperate closer to that deadline and might be willing to give what they're looking for, because they certainly didn't get what they were hoping for, not even close, over the winter.
Did they make a mistake last winter, though, not trying to get the great offer? Because the longer you go, the less he's worth. I mean, anybody can sign him after the season as a free agent. And while, yes, he'd be a big help to anybody, I mean anybody, trying to win a World Series. I love Manny Machado. But did they really miss their great opportunity?
Well, the problem is, again, is that they didn't feel like there was the offer out there that was suitable for them to go ahead and pull the trigger on a deal. They weren't, you know, they were holding out for multiple top prospects that teams weren't willing to give up at that time. And I think, and I know, talk to people in the industry that think that, you know, even though it might not make sense math wise, you may be able to get more for him in July than you could. More contenders are clearly identified at that point. And there are teams, you saw what happened with Chapman, Miller, guys like that. You could actually move them at the deadline and get more, because teams figure, okay, this is the final piece. We're all in. Even if it is that rental, if it's a chance to win a World Series, you're going to do it. If it's a chance to keep him away from a rival, you tend to do that. Sometimes teams go ahead and get a little more desperate at that time than they are in the off season. So I think the Orioles are kind of banking on that as well. But it's certainly a gamble, because that offer never comes. You're not going to let him walk and just take a compensation draft pick. I mean, you can't do that. That is a huge opportunity lost because of what potentially you can get back for him and how that could speed up, if we're going to call it the, quote, rebuilding process. So it is a gamble. But they just, you know, it's tough for them, first of all, to go ahead and part with a guy of this caliber. They don't come along every day. And because they didn't feel like they got a suitable offer, they just didn't want to trade him for the sake of trading him, conceding, well, we won't be able to sign it, so we may as well move him and get whatever we can. They are looking at what you know, the Jason Heyward deal. That always comes back, and what the Braves were able to get. And you know, that's kind of where they are in the mindset. Now they're hoping that, again, as they get closer to the deadline, that the team will step up and give them what they want, whoever that is.
Rock, at the deadline every year, especially lately, it's been about pitching, 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 adding starters, adding relief pitchers, and over-the-top move. Here we saw it with Aroldis Chapman, and now we see what Gleyber Torres is doing for the Yankees since he's been called up. A little tough to watch, but it's okay because the Cubs have their ring. Do you think there are going to be a lot of teams, even though you're talking about a guy that's going to get maybe four at-bats a game, that are going to view Machado as an over-the-top move?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's such a difference maker, and especially, I guess, if you have that need of shortstop, because let's face it, Manny's made it very clear that that's where he wants to stay. Now, money talks. If somebody says, look, I'll give you $400 million, but we want you at third base, you may go ahead and concede that whole shortstop thing. But either way, yeah, I mean, the guy is just such a huge difference maker. He is a special talent, and you can see, though, playing shortstop has really energized him. Everybody in the organization predicted this in the offseason. We move Manny to short, so people are going to question it because you're taking a platinum glove winner, two-time gold glove winner off a third. But look how it's translated to what he's done at the plate. He got off to a really bad start last year, his first half. And you look at what he's doing now and how elite he is. And a lot of that, people think, has to do not just with contract year, but the idea that he's back playing the position he always wanted to play. So, but, you know, it's interesting, though, the point you made about pitching. I think more and more you're going to find relievers because of the way managers are using their bullpens in the postseason. I think a good reliever can be more valuable now than the starters. This game really has kind of transitioned. Yeah. But either way, you can always use a guy that brings the tools Manny does at the plate and in the field.
Lately, we've seen players in losing situations, losing culture, go somewhere else, change the scenery, and just take over. J.D. Martinez, Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole goes from Pittsburgh to Houston, same thing.
How about Stanton's first month, though?
Yeah, yeah. Struggles there early. Yeah, we see that, too. Where do you think Machado would fall in?
You know, first of all, Manny has had the opportunity to win here, so that helps. Not like he's never won and he's been beaten down by it. He's desperate to go to a situation where he can go to the playoffs. He's been in the playoffs multiple times as an Oriole, so I think that helps. And he keeps claiming, and I believe it, he really loves it here. His best buddy, Jonathan Scope, is here. He's not a guy that's walking around miserable with that get me out of here look. Mm-hmm. But, again, it comes down to the money, and you just cannot envision the Orioles getting that kind of a bidding war for him. And I think he realizes that, and that's why he's not offended by any trade talks, because he knows it's a business, and he knows the Orioles have to – it's, you know, prudent for them to at least be looking at what teams might be willing to offer. But he has had that. He has won here before, and would love to be able to stay here and continue to have that opportunity. But it just doesn't look like it's in the cards. I think wherever he goes, he's going to be that same guy who's, you know, brings those kind of tools. And yeah, you know, it's all about the winning, and he wants that opportunity to go someplace where he'll still get the chance to do that. And I think any team that's going to spend that kind of money is probably a team that's banking on winning, and it's not going to be somebody where he's going to someplace where he's going to be losing for 4 or 5 years.
He's so great. Do you think there is another level?
Yeah, that's interesting. It's frightening to think what that might be, considering how he could hit for average, he hits for power, and what a sensational defender he is. He's capable, probably, of stealing more bases than he does. This team isn't built for that. But I think he's the kind of runner that could do that. He's not a great base runner. I mean, I think he's a guy that could steal second for it, but you'll see him make some decisions where he gets thrown out on the bases, and you're kind of putting your hands up like, Manny, what were you thinking? So maybe that's an area you get a little better at, but now we're nitpicking because of everything else this guy brings. I mean, if there's another level, it's frightening to think, but he's still young, so it's conceivable that, yeah, maybe there is. Maybe he could certainly put together the two really big halves, like he might be able to do this year, because again, last year, you know, he had that really bad first half. Now, let's face it, he's putting up these numbers here where it'd be very easy to pitch around them, because he was the only guy hitting for the first, you know, month or so here, and he was still putting up this kind of numbers. So now that he's getting some support behind him, he looks like he could really take off.
He's Rock Kabako. He covers the Orioles for Masson in Baltimore. He joins us on the Score right now. Joins us a few times a year, and usually, Rock, I start the conversation by saying, I have no idea what the Orioles are doing, and I have no idea how they continue to win, because it just doesn't make any sense. But it has come to an end. It's not happening this year. And you have a general manager and a manager, I believe, in the final year of their deals. What is the future for those guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's an organization that could go through a big transition here because of all the pending guys, free agents. And you're right, Duquette and Showalter both, last year's of the contracts, of course, with Manny, with Adam Jones, with Zach Britton, with Brad Brock. I mean, there could be a tremendous amount of turnover, and that's why the Orioles didn't want to tear it down last year, because they thought, you know what, this window's closing, but we haven't, you know, we want to go for it right now while we can, before we might have to go in another direction. Then they get off to this kind of start. Injuries really hurt them. Guys weren't hitting, you know, different things. They were playing bad pretty much in all facets of the game. The defense has really slipped, and that was an area they wanted to improve in, and they've been one of the worst fielding teams in baseball. So now they're left in a situation where, if this doesn't get better real soon, and Duquette said Memorial Day is the marker of where you kind of reevaluate, then they're going to have to go ahead and start, you know, trading off some guys and look to, again, speed up whatever we're going to call this, the rebuild. But that leads to the question of who is calling the shots, because if Dan Duquette, being in his final year, if, you know, there's a lot of speculation he won't be back. So should he be the guy then that is making these decisions in the draft and with trade, or should that be, should Buck have more input with the assumption that he's back? And I kind of get that sense that he will be if he wants to be. Brady Anderson seems to have a bigger role now, certainly in contract negotiations with Cobb, Cashner, and Tillman. Is he the guy, you know, ownership higher up? You know, Peter Angelos, his sons have been more active now running the team. So, and I think that tends to sometimes, to put it mildly, confuse some other front office people who want to conduct business and don't know where they're supposed to go here. And then, you know, sometimes it's a little bit slow getting a final decision made because you're going through some different layers here. So it is a very complicated situation, I think, more than anything, just because of Dan Duquette's status right now and whether, you know, if there isn't that commitment for him to return next season and beyond, then is he the right guy to be calling the shots now if you're going to have to make some of the more important decisions maybe in franchise history with these trades and with this upcoming draft, where I believe they have the 11th pick. So that's kind of where we are right now. We're all feeling the same way. We would kind of shrug and say, well, we don't know how this is going to work out, but let's find out.
Yeah, I've seen it too many times before, Rock, and not just in Baltimore, but in so many places. It's just hard to understand why you would allow a guy who's not going to be here in a few months to determine the future of your franchise.
Right, and that's with the assumption that he isn't. I mean, certainly nobody's come out and said we're going to go in another direction. I just think there's that feeling that beyond this season, you know, even though they've made it work, we already know Duquette, Showalter, you know, they don't always see eye to eye. It's kind of an uncomfortable relationship, I guess you would call it. And so, you know, could they proceed forward with the two of them? It's just the assumption is that they won't. It's not like they're fighting and they hate each other. It's just it's not the easiest partnership, I guess. So I talked to somebody that said, well, why is that even an issue? You know, the manager and GM don't have to necessarily work together. One guy manages and one guy is the GM, which I guess is a fair argument. But yeah, it's somehow it has worked, though. I mean, Buck's been one of the best managers in baseball, and Dan's made a series of moves with, you know, a budget that doesn't rival the Yankees and Red Sox that have still panned out. And this team went from 14 straight losing seasons to making the playoffs in 12, 14, and 16 and winning the division 14. So in that regard, it's hard to argue with the results. But, you know, the moves they made so far the offseason that we thought was going to make them a better team certainly did on paper, but overall just hasn't translated to their play on the field. And again, not making excuses, but I think part of that is the injuries. Muscope's back now. Trumbo's back. Suddenly they're hitting better. Britton will be back, we think, early June. Question is, by then, is it too late to have an elite closer back on a team that's in last place?
Rock, I talked to some people before the year started that thought, maybe, who knows, maybe Dylan Bundy can put it together and make a run at a Cy Young. And he was off to a wonderful start. You know these numbers, but for our listeners, his last three starts, an ERA of 19, opponents hitting 460, and an OPS of 1600 against him. What is going on there?
Yeah, that's not good, is it?
I don't think so.
It doesn't sound good.
No, fantasy baseball players, that he might not be the guy you want to pick up right now. And that last outing where he didn't retire a batter, gave up four home runs, that was historic. That hadn't happened before. And it is puzzling because he is 100% healthy, so that certainly isn't
against the Royals.
An issue there. Yes, of all teams, that one of the, I think they were like 28th out of 30 teams in home runs going into that series. But he's healthy, and you know he had a good bullpen session. He's trying to make a few little maybe adjustments, but his last three, it's been puzzling because it was been such a drop off those last three compared to how he did previously. So you know, you don't expect a guy that's at his level now to have that kind of a problem in three straight starts, and it's a big deal because the club's leaning so heavily on him and on Kevin Gausman. Unfortunately for them, Gausman's been the opposite. He's trending in the right direction. But I think the thing with Bundy, given his injury history, especially the Tommy John and some other things, they're just relieved to know that there's nothing physical. The arm is totally fine. And it's just when it's the typical, anytime a pitcher's really struggling, it always starts with not commanding the fastball. And then when that doesn't happen, you got to rely more on your secondary pitches. And if you don't have a feel for those in a particular start, you've got nothing else. And that's really what's been happening to him. But it's always going to start out, first and foremost, being able to command that fastball and then work off of that. He just hasn't been able to do it.
Rock, were you surprised that Manny wanted to go back to shortstop? And are you surprised after so many years away and some serious injuries that he's been as good as he's been at the position?
Yeah, I mean, he's had just a few moments where, you know, a few rocky moments. But I think that was more of a, we just kind of took J.J. Hardy for granted. J.J. made every routine play and nothing flashy, but he was so reliable that as soon as the ball was hit to him, you'd look down and already mark 6-3 on your scorecard without even watching the rest of it. So I think we got spoiled there. But yeah, with Manny, I mean, it is his natural position. And Buck kept stressing, I'm not moving him to a new position. I'm putting him back at his old one. You know, with Manny, I knew he wanted to play shortstop, but, you know, he respected Hardy so much, you know, as out of deference or whatever, he wasn't going to make a fuss about it. He knew eventually J.J. would move on, and that position would be there for him. And I give him credit for, you know, patiently waiting. There were some thought about whether the position might be a little too taxing for him, you know, with surgically repaired knees. And, you know, he filled in for like 40 games one year, and it took a toll on him. You know, that's why he worked so hard in the offseason. His workouts are geared more toward being a shortstop as opposed to a third baseman, kind of changing the body a little bit. But I knew he always wanted to do that. And, you know, that was his position. I give him a lot of credit for working out at third base at Double-A Bowie, getting called up and being as good as he was, because that was not, you know, that was completely unfamiliar territory for him. You know, he's wanted to play short. It was a gamble for a team that was kept stressed. We got to improve our defense. And he put Tim Beckham at third, who had five major league starts there. And you've got, you know, Manny, who, you know, hadn't played it in a while consistently. So that was a gamble, and they've been scrambling now to find some consistency at third base. But, yeah, Manny, you know, we figured that once he got himself reacclimated to the position, that he was going to be really good there.
Rock, thanks for your time. Great stuff. We always appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be talking again in the months to come.
All right, sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.